You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
Wham Goat presents the Band Flip Podcast.
What is up? Welcome to this week's episode of the Band Flip Podcast. We're starting a second time because we weren't recording the first time, but luckily we only got like 90 seconds into it, Danny. But today, I'm joined by, again, I did the same fucking goof up. I'm joined by Hardcore Royalty today, New York's very own Donnie Diablo, Lord Ezak, the man, the myth, the legend, actor, rapper, hardcore legend, man of many hats. How you doing today, Danny?
Good. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing great, man. I'm doing great. It's great to have you on. I know you're a very busy person, so thank you for taking
thank
the time.
Thank you, man. Thank you for reaching out, bro. It means a lot.
Cool. Well, let's just kick it off. Since we already kind of goofed it, we'll skip that first story. And yeah, so what have you been up to lately? I know since the pandemic, you kind of started doing a clothing line, some hip hop stuff here and there too.
Yeah.
You've been acting a lot more too lately too, and I kind of want to get into what you've been kind of doing in the last couple handful of years.
Basically, I moved out to Milwaukee with the Force 5 Records guys out here. So basically, I'm over here. I've been acting with Kamal Ahmed. Kamal is from the Jerky Boys, if you know what the Jerky Boys are.
Jerky Boys, for sure.
a lot of people don't know that Kamal was best friends with Hoya's brother Dave, who passed away, Big Dave. So Kamal, when we were kids, we used to go down to the Lower East Side and like just talk shit. We were too young going to the bars. So me, Hoya, would go outside and talk, and Kamal would be there. We'd just make fun of each other all day. Then he said one day, he's like, oh, he's doing this thing called Jerky Boys. We're like, what the fuck is that? I mean, like we were like, yeah, whatever. Yeah, we make money out. Yeah, he pranks, calls everyone. And, you know, all of a sudden he blew up and put, you know, it was the biggest thing in the world. And now he's a director, producer, and writer of a show called Crash the System, which is on Tubi. And I just finished filming the second season. So,
oh, nice.
I've been doing that. So.
Do you play like a reoccurring character on there?
God. So, growing up with Kamal is fucked up because he did this character purposely to fuck with me. So it's always, so he basically made this character called Randy Roach Trap. So when I read the script, I was like, oh, dude, this guy's killing me. But it became one of, like, I walk in the streets in New York and people are like, Roach Trap. It's fucked up. It's funny as hell.
So. Was that a character from the crank call times?
No, he just made it up.
Oh, okay.
He's made it up.
I grew up listening to Jerky Boys. So if you were like, if there was a character based off of you, even then, before I even got into hardcore, that'd be even wild. That would be wild.
It's just crazy that Kamal's a great person. He's a great actor. You know, a great actor, a writer, a comedian, but to work for him has been fucking the best thing in the world. It's when I told my mother that I'm working with Kamal, she goes, behave yourself. She thought it was still kids. Like, behave. I said, no, he's a real director, Ma. He made it. He's pretty young. It's hilarious.
That's cool.
Shout out to Kamal.
When did you decide to get into acting? I know you did something like a couple years ago in the early 2000s, you know, but how active were you at that time?
All right, so when I moved to LA, I did a, this is crazy. So there was like a prequel to 30 Days, 30 Nights, the vampire movie. Mm-hmm. And I'm in that thing, a prequel. The guy said, come down. I did it. And I didn't even know what this guy, the director for that movie, was like Jamie Joss's favorite director. Like, Jamie stood online to meet this director back in the day, and then when he saw that I did the prequel, I didn't even tell him I did the prequel for it, and he got so mad at me. He goes, I'm over here trying to meet the director, and you worked with the guy. I was like, I didn't even know, bro. I'm sorry, but the thing is, like, in LA, you meet all these people. I met one of my brothers, Peter Green. He's a famous actor, mm-hmm. and he's my brother. No matter what, I lived with this guy 5 years in LA, 5 years in the city. My brother, I bring him everywhere I go. He's crazy. Yeah, he's one of the best actors in the world. He helped me out like teaching me how to act and stuff like that. Just him telling like pointers. But he's been my the person I go to if I'm going to do something. I ask Peter.
Yeah. You got a lot of connects. I mean, another really famous actor you probably know as well and you've done some work with in the past is Ice-T, so I'm sure you've probably chopped up some acting, you know, conversations with that man as well.
I want to tell you something. I just talked to Ice-T the other day, and we talk on the phone, on, you know, text and everything, and there's no one in the world that is like Ice-T. You know, there wasn't Ice-T, there would be no Danny Diablo. You know, the body count stuff, you know, and he's a real person. You know, a lot of these people, you know, in your business, everything, there's not a person like him. He'll stop. When I saw him, I played a show in Pennsylvania once, and it was all these rappers, and he came into the place, and before he said what's up to all, like, to Cassidy, to BD Siegel, he stopped and said, yo, hold on one second. He was like, Diablo, he gave me a hug. You know, it's like, and it's a real motherfucker. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, because you guys go way back, like you said, Body Count and all those early,
Ice Pick records. So.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yeah. Shout out to Ice-T. I love that motherfucker.
Yeah, I'm trying to get him on the podcast. We've DM'd a couple times, and a couple times we've tried here and there, but, you know, one day we'll get that man on here.
Maybe he'll check the sound in.
Yeah, maybe.
That's cool.
Hey, if you're listening, Ice-T, you're more than welcome to come on here and talk everything, you know, metal, hardcore, and all that good stuff. So, yeah, acting. Like, so what's the end-all, be-all goal in that? You just kind of want to do as much as you can or, you know, Trejo it up or something?
I always wanted to do acting. I love movies. I love like, you know, that did he like all these fucking musicians want to be actors and actors want to be musicians and it's all intertwined and like then you got Johnny Depp with a guitar and Bruce Willis playing blues and shit like that.
Right.
You know what I mean? So whatever, it's the same shit. It's like it's all these guys. Everyone wants to be the center of attention. That's all it is. Yeah. Egos and fucking, you know. Yeah, it is.
Yeah. You got that entertainment bug in you, and when did you realize you had that kind of gene, or you know, I don't want to say defect, but burden of like being the entertainment guy? You know what I mean?
When I grew up, listen, my mother played flamenco guitar, Spanish guitar, and played the castanets and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. My father did not even give a he listened to big band music. You know what I mean? My father was older, so I learned through all my music, came to music. My uncle, Uncle Taffy, he was like a straight heroin addict, fucking, but a great guy. And oh, he's 6'4", he had a glass eye. He's the one that taught me about like Led Zeppelin and Black Sabbath and stuff like that. You know, he's a crazy Puerto Rican guy, was in jail his whole life. And he's like, show me like Led Zeppelin, Styx, fucking Blue Oyster Cult, stuff like that.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, that's cool, man, your music. And then I got into all the stuff, but I grew up in Jackson Heights, Queens. So when I grew up, it's all mixed, and it was crazy. I grew up in the 70s and 80s, you know?
Yeah. So. And I've always, like, you know, even before I knew the exact history, because I didn't get into hardcore until I was late teens, early 20s, and I'm 40 now, so I kind of missed, I didn't have an older brother showing me the ropes, you know, I had to stumble into that shit myself. And living down here in the South is a little different, but I always correlated the two, hardcore and hip hop, so close together. And then when you know you do the research and you find out how really close knit they are, they're born in the same like you know part of the world.
We're born in the same streets. Yeah. And so it's like we grew up. Me and Hoya grew up with Juju from the Beatnuts. Psycho Les from the Beatnuts. Nice. Went to high school with Sasha Jenkins, Elliot Wilson. Oh, went to high school with me. So like junior high school with me. Then Steve LaBelle's from my neighborhood. So all these guys, big rap moguls. Grew up in my neighborhood, bro.
Yeah.
I mean, like these dudes. So it's funny. I used to go to all these clubs. I used to destroy. When I was young, I was a kind of a fucking, you know, problem when I was a kid. You know what I mean? And I used to go to all these clubs. I remember I bump into my fans from Japan, and they'd be like, "What are you doing here?" Mm-hmm. And I'm like, "Yo, the guy who throws this club is my boy. Did you see the rapper over there that you love? I robbed his chain last week.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll do it again. Keep on bothering me." You know, that's how I used to roll.
Yeah.
I laugh at it now because it's crazy. But all those stories you heard them. I laugh. But it's funny because like they get all crazy, like they're all distorted and everything. But like I don't like bothering anyone. I like having a good time. I partied for the last 30 years of my life. I'm just chilling now and just focusing on my money and retiring. I mean, that's all. Yeah. I'm doing good music. I just did the Milwaukee Metal Fest with Jamie Josta, TJ, the pre-party, hung out with everyone. It was good seeing all the, you know, Milwaukee Metal Fest was so amazing to see all the metal dudes working together. Like, I wish hardcore guys could do that. All they do is talk shit about each other. Hardcore guys are the fucking worst. The metal guys are smart. They know where to get the money. It's so crazy. If the hardcore guys could be like the metal dudes and this get, you know, do the right thing, get a publication. That's what happened back in the day. There's no publication. The metal guys had all the metal publications.
Yeah, the magazines hardcore, and shit.
Yeah, metal guys. It'd be one page. It'd be like the hardcore page.
Right.
Be like, yeah, whatever.
You know, that's crazy. Like, I kind of want to talk to you about that because obviously you kind of grew up in the birth of all like hardcore and stuff like that.
Well, listen, I'm a fucking.
Hey, what's up? It's Lurk. Looks like you're enjoying the podcast. If you are and you like what we're doing here on the Van Flip, why don't you go ahead and pause this and give us a rating and review on whatever platform you're listening to. If you want to find out any information on your favorite bands from the hardcore and metal scene, visit lambgoat.com. And to stay in the loop about everything that we post on lambgoat.com, make sure you like us on Facebook and you head over to Twitter and Instagram and follow us at lambgoat. Are you a full-grown adult and you also have a TikTok account? Congrats. Follow us on TikTok as well. You can find us under the username lambgoat.com. That's spelled out D-O-T-C-O-M. Head over to our YouTube channel where we have all of these podcasts in video format, plus a lot more content that you should check out. Make sure you hit that subscribe button and you hit that notification bell so you're always alerted when we upload new content. And last but not least, if you want to follow me, Lurk, the host of the show, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at LurkCity. And as always, if you need any of the links that pertain to the artists on the show today, Lambgoat, or myself, you can always find them in the description. Thanks for listening to this message. Now let's get back to the show.
I grew up in graffiti before music.
Right. And we'll get into that too. I definitely want to get into that.
But the thing is this, I am a hardcore kid.
Yeah.
I can tell you, no matter what hip hop, gang, culture I got, a mix, whatever, I'm a fucking hardcore kid. That's my thing.
And this is kind of why I want to ask you this question about, because the dichotomy of metal music and hardcore, because, you know, we recently took over Lambgoat about a year ago, and part of that was like, okay, well, how can I interject more hardcore into Lambgoat than was previously? Like, you know, I wanted to focus a good chunk of like the time and effort we spent on doing that. But then when you really take a step back, you realize, like, because I'm engulfed in it. So to me, they're all, everything's on the same level, right? Like hardcore, metalcore, metal, deathcore, like all these subgenres are all level.
Little subgenres,
but they're all level in my eyes. But then, you know, when I look back, when I really have to step back, like I was talking with someone and they were like, dude, metal is way bigger than hardcore. And I was like, you know, I go, you're fucking right. And then I'm like, dude, but then I start thinking back, like, why is it bigger? Like, how did it become this bigger thing? And like, why is hardcore so niche? And I mean, obviously, like the 80s hair band, like, you know, Scorpions and Wasp and all that stuff, pushing metal into the mainstream at a very early time helped out. But it's crazy that hardcore's never really caught up. And I mean, like, now it's catching a little bit, but.
You know what happens in hardcore? That we'll get someone into, like, we get, like, a Mike Gitter and everything into the metal world and do the right thing and help people out. And they'll shit this shit on Mike Gitter. They'll be like, oh, fuck you, you sell out. Like, no. It's like, you stop. That's why they all these guys are fucking 60 years old and they're still doing band. They're still playing shows just to make a fucking mortgage.
Yeah.
I don't want to be that guy.
Yeah,
I
want to
be. When I'm 60 years old, I want to be done in an island somewhere in Puerto Rico just chilling. And I'll play some shows here and there. But I'm not, like, do you understand? It's a business. And a lot of these guys don't treat it like a business. And it's like, I deal with the older guys. I'm a second generation. But the older guys, to me, the guys that ruined my life, Jimmy Gestapo, old Jimmy G from Murphy's Law, Roger Moret from fucking Nazi Front, Vinny Stigma from Nazi Front, and John Joseph for Cro-Mags. Like when I was a kid, I wanted to be John Joseph and Harley. And those guys, they're both fucked up. But I'm saying, like, but I love them. I love John. Harley, not so much. But I'm saying, but they're both fucked up. And I love them. It's just like, you have to understand, we are the hardcore kids, New York hardcore kids are street kids. So, where street kids aren't that smart. And no matter what people say, they like, it's like all these other, the California people, all their families were in the business. All our families were either sanitation or for cops or DOT, something like that, city jobs. You mean? Mm-hmm. No one thought that music, you make a living out of music, especially hardcore punk.
Yeah. And I mean, at that time, you definitely probably couldn't, but there were bands that were kind of making some moves, like Biohazard and Anthrax, were kind of moonlighting.
A different Biohazard. But I toured with Biohazard for Sick with All, that's how I got into music. Biohazard still is a metal crossover.
Which
to me, the best thing that ever happened to punk rock, and people, all the old guys hate me for this. The best thing that ever happened to punk rock is the metal guy from Sam Ash that had a great fucking distortion pedal. He was like, come on, let's do this. But now we got hardcore.
Yeah. I mean,
got better production. Crumbsuckers, one of the best fucking first Crumbsuckers album. Best guitar players, better than Metallica. Better, they could play better. All those Metallica jocks, them, Megadeth jocks, them, Crumbsuckers, and DRI were hands down amazing.
Yeah, for sure.
To me, I like Metallica, but I've always been like a Megadeth fan because I like the guitar shit. And I like Dave Mustaine talking all that shit and crying all the time.
So, Johnny's a little bit better.
Because I got red hair, and it's always like redhead singers always fuck everything up.
Yeah.
No matter what band. And Dave Mustaine just fucks everything up for redheads.
Well, Hetfield had a little bit of red hue in his hair, too. You know, so you can't blame just him. But, so, hey, we're going to talk more hardcore later, but you brought it up, Graffiti, and and you may not know who this artist is either, but this is a Florida guy, Atomico.
I know Tomico.
Okay, yeah. He's got his own cup now at Miami Subs Grill. So
shout out to Tomico. His work is dope, man.
I love it. And it's Florida, it's kind of Florida based.
He's Florida. Shout out to Tomico.
But anyway, I definitely want to get into that, into Graffiti, because I also, I do get into Graffiti. And
Cool.
Another thing, too, is I think Jorge came down here not that long ago and played like Master Killer or some tracks off Master Killer or something like that. And after the show, I was in the parking lot and I was just walking around, and I've never seen one of these in real life in here in town, but I found this little KODMS sticker, which is probably not going to be seen. There it goes.
Oh, KODMS.
Yeah, KODMS on the ground. So it's all been stomped on and like half of it's like non-usable, I definitely picked it up and I was like, I got to put it in my box of shit to keep, because I've only seen the t-shirt sporadically down here. So it was cool, because obviously there's a lot of guys from New York and New Jersey that came down for that show with Jorge, and a lot of the DMS crew was down here. But I want to get into that, but I know we have to start in the Graffiti world first. And
all right, let's go.
I like the Graffiti world. I moonlighted, I should say, back in the day. So, how'd you get into Graffiti, and at what age?
I got into Graffiti, I would say 1985. I was like I got into Graffiti way when I was a little kid, going to school,
right,
in my neighborhood, walking to the kindergarten every day. My mom, my friend Jam, and his family, they see all the graffiti in my neighborhood. The guy named in my neighborhood was a guy named Jimmy 131,
mm-hmm.
Mike 179. Mike 79, Jimmy 131, Ha Ha Ha, Craze B, all these guys. So every time I see all of it, it's funny because these dudes are still writing graffiti.
Right. That's great.
I just did a book for Urban Legends, Queens Graffiti Legends, like who influenced me, and I did a piece, a Ha 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 piece, and Jimmy 131, who's Ha Ha Ha, that's his alias, was like, yo, thank you so much. I talked to him. He's still living in Woodside, Queens. Works a union guy, fucking, you know, like, still doing it, bro. So
nice.
Graffiti is something that I will never.
Were they buffing the trains? I'm sorry. When did they start buffing everything? Like
89, they start buffing trains.
Okay, because the trains used to be fucking covered, and I remember. Yeah, yeah. And I didn't know if you were walking around. Okay, I didn't know if you were walking around at that time frame. So that would be a mind fuck.
Oh, I'm talking about walking. I'm gonna be 52 this year. So you know what I mean? So like.
Damn. Okay. Yeah. All right. So yeah, you're 85, walking the streets, seeing ups.
Yeah, so I catching tags. It's in the neighborhood, man. So it's like everyone's writing graffiti. So like, I loved it. And then getting into going at leaving your house and doing something illegal. All right, I want to tell you something right now. Now marijuana is the gateway to do drugs.
Yeah,
fucking your life up.
Yeah,
you do weed and open up, you do crack, whatever, ecstasy, whatever you do.
Yeah,
so it's a gateway. graffiti is a gateway to crime.
Yeah, I can see that.
Straight.
Because you say the same, but you say the same thing, and that's the reason why I was like tempted by it, because it was kind of like I already am up late at night anyway, so why not? Yeah. When I was a kid, why not go around and write my name on things, which sounds so stupid to somebody, you know, not into it, but that's what it is.
But and you have to understand, like, where I'm from, writing graffiti, then we were like, oh, we're jumping on trains. Back then, it was like trains were fucked up. It's like going to CBGB's, like all of us,
yeah,
me,
no.
And Q Hoya. Mm-hmm. Like we're in Queens. We meet up. You know, we're living at home and stuff. So we meet up. We don't talk to each other. We just meet up just certain days. We'll meet up Sunday at 12 o'clock noon at 74th Street and Roosevelt. We get there. Now we're at 74th Street Roosevelt. We gotta go on the train, jump the train. You know, we have no money. Get on the train. Go. Then we have beef with people. The other graffiti riders, other crews, other gangs that we have people with, going to the city. So anything can happen. They're going to the show. They can get killed at the show.
Yeah.
Get stabbed, beat up, whatever. Then you got to get back on the fucking train at nighttime and go back home.
Yeah.
And go to school the next day.
And you're dodging from both worlds. You're getting the graffiti world and the hardcore world.
Hardcore gang world, too. Yeah, it's like, us. I got to get back to it. I got to walk through the neighborhood now. Yeah.
Yeah. So, do you still do graffiti? Or do you just, we'll call it art. I don't know if you do want to talk about doing street art, but do you do art?
I do a lot of art lately. Like, I've been doing canvases and selling canvases all over the world. So, there's artists out there that don't sell, all my artists, but they don't do shit. I sell three canvases a month.
Nice.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. So, and is that painting or is that more graffiti styled?
It's more graffiti. I do my e-throw up, the e-throwy, but I do the graph by my L graph bot thing. And a lot of these people just want the New York hardcore thing. They have been like, yo, why you want it? They just want the New York hardcore symbol and the graffiti stuff. A lot of people just want the Ezek. I'm like, yo, bro, I could do something else.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Do you?
But yeah, obviously. Whatever. We do every once a year. Well, last year we did it in our Basel. We had the Black and Blue Art Show, and we had every graffiti writer that the friends of us, the DMS guys, and all graffiti writers from all over Queens and Brooklyn, Manhattan, all over the five boroughs, came to Miami. We threw a big party during our Basel. Then I went. Then we went to the hip hop, the graffiti thing with Kent through, and we chilled and hung out. And I used to have beef with Kent back in the day.
Yeah.
I'm talking about beef. Yeah, no hardcore talking on a computer.
On the internet, yeah.
Like me taking a bow, stabbing you in the throat three times.
How'd you guys settle that?
I want to say something right now. I saw him at his art museum. I came up to him, and I was 30 deep. All DMS guys from the Bronx, people from. Listen, I'm from. Mm-hmm. But I hang out with people who from my neighborhood. Laugh at DMS. You know, you're like, oh, DMS, that's cute. You know, like, dudes from my neighborhood. You know, like, if anything has to go down, these guys are, you know, these are real motherfucking gangsters. You know?
Yeah.
So we all went together, the whole neighborhood. So my whole neighborhood, the drug dealers, the gangsters, we all went down there. And I went up to Kent. I was like, yo, Kent, what's up, baby? It's all good, bro. He hugged me. He said, thank you for coming down. And cool. I was like, yo, this would be for like, I'm talking about beef, like pistol whipping people.
Yeah.
Making the jaw fucking, comas. People put comas. Now it's like, we're grown up. It's either like, what am I going to get out of that, bro?
Right.
You know? And these guys, you know what these guys do now? They make money out of it. And what me and my boys, what we're doing, we still write on the wall. You know, I'm selling one canvas for fucking like, how much? These guys are making millions.
Yeah, yeah. You got to, you know.
That's life.
Step by step.
Step by step. And I looked at him. I said, yo, this is great what you're doing. Because this is for the culture. And he was like, thank you. For God bless you for coming here and being cool. I was like, nah, thank you for having me. I'm sorry. I said to him, I'm so sorry for whatever I did in the past. I'm sorry. I wish we could have done this. It was so much easier right now.
Right.
All we did was hug each other. Okay?
Hey, but that's all it takes sometimes is just the effort. So, you know.
It's the guys, I want to tell you guys, all you hardcore guys, all you guys talking shit on the internet, like, dude, you're getting older, and life's not about that, bro. Life's about fucking, like, sitting back in achievements, doing things positive in life, and all the negative shit doesn't mean it's shit talking. People die over stupid stuff.
Yeah,
you know, life is precious. Sure. That's what I'm trying to tell you guys. You know, life is, and people like laugh. Oh yeah, but you do this. Yeah, don't look at me to be a role model. I'm just saying.
Yeah,
I'm saying. Listen, I got problems just like everyone else. Everyone's like, the problem with me is I'm from the heart. So if it's something was bothering me, I'll tell you something bothers me. Yeah. People right now would say something like, you know, everyone has the cross to bear. Everyone like just because I got sober doesn't mean that I think sober's the, like, the sober sucks. You mean to me, it's like I'm telling you, people, oh, it's great. No, this shit sucks.
But
I'm focused. I'm focused. And am I gonna stay sober forever? No, I'm not.
Oh, okay.
It's like if I'm on a bar mitzvah and someone gives me a shot of Manischewitz, I'm doing Manischewitz. If you, it's your birthday, I'm doing a shot of Jameson with you. I wasn't a drinker. I did cocaine.
Yeah, it's a different listen, vibe.
Cocaine was great. You know, I fucked so many bitches on cocaine. I've been, you know, I'm a more rock star than any of you rock stars. Like, it's like, I can't say. There's only one person, the only one person that could outdo me in bitches and rock star shit is like, that'd be Jared Leto. That's only nigga that could do it.
Interesting.
Anyone else, whatever. You mean?
And for him, it's his looks. It's not his cool attitude.
No, but he's cool, man, because I chill with him.
No, I'm sure he is, but he's also like that very.
I want to tell you my history. Will make you guys laugh. Make the whole world laugh.
Yeah,
right,
let's
now.
Go. Jared Leto.
I'm banging these two strippers, right? I'm not going to say the names. Hot, whatever, LA. I'm destroying these bitches. You know, with cocaine, LA, Peter Green's in the other room. I'm fucking, yeah. All of a sudden, they're like, oh shit, we gotta go. I was like, what the fuck are you going? And she's like, go, we gotta go. And so, and this is the best thing I'll tell you about my life. I go, who is that? And he goes, it's Jared Leto. You know, he wants to hang out. I go, what? I say, wait. It goes, we gotta, I say, oh, God, go. He goes, I go, how is, yo, what's he goes, I go, how is that nigga? Is he crazy? Whatever. Yeah, yeah. Hear the story. She goes, yo, he's exactly like you, but he got millions of dollars. Peace. I'm like, fuck you, bitches. Yo, he's an animal, just like you, yeah. But he got millions of dollars. Peace.
You know? Hey, but you know what? He also had some seconds that night.
Yeah. But I'm saying, I love Jared. I love my guilty pleasure. I listen to 30 Seconds to Mars.
Oh yeah,
a beautiful lie over and over, like crying, driving on a tour.
Well, you also, but you have a very eclectic taste in music because I've heard you on other interviews and you've said a wide array of artists already in this short period of time that like you that your family has shown you, or your mom or dad. But yeah, I know you've also listened to like, you know, sad boy emo music like The Cure and some things like that, and all over. So I know you're well versed, and I'm sure that's probably the melting pot of where you grew up.
Yeah, you know what? So growing up in the same name with Jack Sines, Civ from Gorilla Biscuits is there. So growing up, I used to see Civ and all these guys. We used to call them Sham Boys, but like Shams, the new wave shit.
Yeah.
So the guys on my corner, the Bowden brothers and the O'Briens, used to beat the shit out of fucking Civ and all them. The new punk rockers, new wave, like they'd be like, yeah, throw like garbage cans at him. I'm like, oh, they got a skateboard. Poor guys didn't even know. They're like, he's like 1985. Like, yo, what the fuck? The guys in my neighborhood were crazy. You know, the Zoo Crew guys. They were like, if you look different back then, if you now it's all cool and games. You go to Hot Topic, get your T-shirt. Back then, you had to go always to Numbers and Records and walk through all these fucking animals. And if you're a punk rocker, and you listen, all right, we left. If you're from my neighbor, and Jack's Night has a big gay population, like always, the biggest cocaine growing up. Jackson Heights was the biggest coke, but Griselda moved to Jackson Heights. Mm. She's from Columbia, and she did everything with Jackson Heights. So that's all Colombian. So my neighborhood, families were dying, killed, cartels, you know what I mean? Then mob, it was like gangs and gangs. It was like crazy. But everyone partied. Everyone was doing cocaine like crazy. You know? And I tell you right now, Jackson Heights was so fucking crazy. I would listen to all the New Wave kids I went to school with, and they would listen to The Cure. And I'd be like, what the fuck is this fucking... You're like, oh my god, I love The Cure.
You know, all of a sudden, you hit a vibe, and you're done.
You really you can't admit it to the Guido assholes. You know, they're like, you fucking, you know, and now I listen to it. I will fucking, if someone fucked with Robert Smith right now in front of me, I will beat them down.
Yeah. Hey, on site. So,
The Cure, pictures of you are my favorite fucking. Song in the world, you know?
So, Rob,
Celebration, your best album.
Yeah, Rob, if you're out there and you need some fucking security work, DMS has got your back. Yeah, that's tight. So, let's talk about like the differences in hardcore, because obviously, like we were talking before we got on here about, you know, people on the internet and this and the other. You came from a, I mean, not that you come from a different time, but you know, you came from a different era where the internet wasn't really popular. Wasn't even a thing back in the early days when you were going to shows and shit. And, you know, people said things and, you know, like there's freedom of speech and stuff like that, this, that, and the other.
Listen.
There's also consequences.
Yeah, but that's the problem. A lot of people, listen, I understand. Like, a lot of the older guys get mad when people talk shit. I still get mad. There's trolls and the guys who say something about you, like, oh, you owe this money for your, like, your kid or something. I'm like, yo, listen, if I have a problem with someone, if I didn't like a band, I would never, like, you know, some guys who just, like, talk shit to the band. I'm like, yo, like, that was never myself. If I didn't like a band, I just didn't watch or go to the bar or something. I mean, there's people who are just miserable in life. And they'll say stuff like, if I don't like a band, let's say you had a band, I'll be like, it's not my, I couldn't even diss it because who am I to diss it? I'll be like, it's not my cup of tea. But if you like Atreyu and it sounds like Atreyu, so you would be fans of this band. I would never diss someone. You know what I mean?
And I know that because today Danny is liking Atreyu tweets, so he's speaking what he's preaching.
I learned, you know what's funny? The guy, the drummer for Atreyu, a long time ago, Jamie was doing Headbangers Ball. He was my manager at the time. Mm-hmm. I used to sit in the back, wait for him in MTV. And all of a sudden, he's like, yo, the guy said, yeah. I was like, why are you making me do this? So these bands, I hate these bands. All of a sudden, the Trey guy came in. The drummer goes, yo, I seen Scarhead and VOD. I love you guys. I was like, I felt like a dick. Yeah. Because everyone I said talk shit about was a fan of Scarhead or Crown Thorns. Yeah. And everyone was cool. It's they're always the coolest guys.
Yeah.
So I always like, it's funny when bands, like, people love my music. I'm like, then I look at them like Davey AFI. I'm like, Davey, you're fucking like a god. Mm-hmm. Vocals. And he's like, you used to come to all the Scarhead shows. When he got, and I'd be like, yo, what up, Davey? He would have his little fucking umbrella come over and kiss me. Little Davey, what's up? I'd be like, you gotta watch that guy at the strip club. He's the one gonna bang your girlfriend. That guy.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, you turn your head and you're
gone. He'll pretend, oh, all of a sudden, your girl's gone with
Davey.
Yeah,
everyone's gone. But yeah, so like, what are the biggest differences, not only on, like, you know, the shit talk in front, but like in hardcore in general that you've noticed over the long tenure that you've been a part of it? And like, what are like some of the positives and what are some of the negatives? So we'll go both angles.
We'll laugh. All right. So always. You got the older guys, you know, especially you got kids who are really smart and grew up on the internet. And you can never destroy them. So no matter. So I got some brothers I know. They get all crazy, talk shit, and I'm looking at them like, yo, you. And this person just is destroying them.
Yeah.
And I can't stop laughing because I'm like, yo, you just get off the fucking internet.
Yeah.
Yeah, these kids are raped. They know everything about you. They're gonna destroy you. And they're like, I can't even text. And I'm like, and the kids are smart nowadays. They're smarter. And I'm like, it's not even worth it. They're like, they're getting destroyed. And then you're just like, you can't win. Just get off the fucking internet, bro.
Yeah. Right?
Sometimes it's just like, you know, if someone says something to you, the first thing to me is like, it's hard for me. Now I'd be like, go fuck yourself. I'm giving whatever. But I treat people with respect all the time. Like you said, I talked to, hey, we're laughing about jokes. Because like, a lot of people in here that just start talking shit. Like, all of a sudden, like you said, when Gavin hit the thing, when I posted that, people were like, you know, Nazi fascist. I was like, what the fuck? I was like, it's like when Dominique Wilkins dunks on someone in the thing, and the guy goes, oh, Dominique Wilkins, I don't know what that guy, I don't know about that guy's background, who's the commentator of the sports thing. He can fucking bitch out about that. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I'm just doing it for the highlights. You know, it's so weird, these motherfuckers. Oh, and you say something, they're going to twist the words around. It's hilarious. So that's why you asked me. I'll tell you the real story. The whole crazy thing was that no hipsters in 2001. Come on.
Yeah.
But that was just crazy shit. Shit happens in life, man. I laugh at all the stuff. But you hear a lot of fucking crazy stories about me, but I'll tell you what's true or not true. And sometimes I'll laugh about it. Sometimes I'm not so proud about them, but I'm not going to lie about it.
Right.
You know, I'll tell you straight up what happened in my life. You know what I mean?
Do you... about that, because there's so many like urban legends and myths about you, right? So like, how is that to be like, you know, kind of like a walking urban legend, so to speak?
Is that glitching?
It's glitching in the audio, yeah, or the video, yeah. I think you're good now. Yeah, you're good now.
Yeah. So what, like, what do you want to add? There's so many fucking fucked up.
No. But what's it like? I mean, you don't have to actually tell us the story, but like,
people meet me, they think I'm like 6'5" and full of steroids. Like, they think I'm like Hulk Hogan or something. I'm like a macho, or the Ultimate Warrior, like that. Like, I like talking. I like making jokes. I like, but I'd rather have a good time than a bad time. You know, mm-hmm. I like putting people together. I put so many people together. Career-wise, like music-wise, everything. I just want people to enjoy life. You know, I want musicians to work together, make money, and do some good music. You mean I like people hanging out together. I like putting the hip hop, the fuck hip hop, the graffiti, put the rap, and put the fucking the hardcore punk influence and the metal all together, and be like, oh, that's why I do Diablo Fest. Put everyone together, get the graffiti. Get the hip hop, get the fucking southern punk rock, you know, stuff like that, all together. But it's all together. It's a punk rock attitude, man. Graffiti, all that shit's punk rock to me.
Yeah, it's not really a sound. It's an attitude. Yeah.
It's like it's street. You know what I mean? Like, and that's why there's so many people I grew up with in my neighborhood that I travel in the world and I see them and the rappers are like, yo, what's up? And people die laughing like, oh, you guys are friends? No, we grew up together. Mm-hmm. It's not friends. It wasn't like. Me and Hoya are like, oh, we're going to do we met in a hardcore show. Me and Hoya are fucking friends first, then we did hardcore. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We're from the same neighborhood. It has nothing to do. We're from the same neighborhood. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Corona, Jackson Heights, Queens. We're from Queens. Even Craig Ahead, from Craig from Sick of Roll, like, he's the one that basically I tell him ruined my life. Right? He's the one that taught all of us. He was older, but he was younger. So he was like, we looked up to him, and he would teach us everything about girls and everything. Like always say, Craig, you're the scumbag and broke. Like, we know the real Craighead.
Yeah. It's weird. It's funny that you say you ruined your life, because I also think the same thing when I look back at like developing a love for hardcore and metal.
Yeah.
I feel like it does ruin your life you get so stuck in that small like little niche. You know, you want to be part of that so bad.
It also helps you out so much, man.
Of course.
Like, hardcore, like
that's another reason why I got drawn to it, because it was very positive and uplifting, and the brotherhood, like you said earlier, it's like it was that, and it, not that I wasn't getting that elsewhere, it's just like I'd never really seen that outside of like maybe like a family, or so to speak, like a tight-knit family.
It
was really, really intriguing, and that's what, you know, the heaviness and the brutality of it obviously brought me into it, but like the culture was part of it too, so.
And you know, down in Florida, when I see the guys from Obituary and I say Trevor Perez and I'm like, you know, they all, their background is hardcore too. There's metal, hardcore. It's there. It's been there. It's a punk rock. You know, COC. All those, everything's like this down there. So it all comes from punk rock. It all comes from the punk rock scene. Like, and I always laugh because I talk to the older guys. Like, I talk to Dick Manitoba from the Dictators, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Who's really them and Dead Boys start and the Ramones started fucking punk rock. So I always talk to Dick Manitoba. I'm like, what's up? We got to do a song today. He's like, I'm not really too big on the hardcore. He tells me, I'm saying, he's like, oh, he's like 60 something. I'm like, yo, like 68 years old. I'm like, I gotta do something with you. You started like the Dictators opened up for Kiss in Madison Square Garden. Now that's fucking crazy.
Yeah. Well, see, that's another thing, like, because they're, like, again, doubling back to, like, why isn't hardcore as big as metal? Like, but they, like, you, there were times where, like, there were opportunities, I feel, like, you know, these bands, they might not be, like, current hardcore, what we would consider current hardcore, but they are, like, the start of it, right? Like, they're on the same stage, in the same venues, almost, as, like, these huge bands, but
they didn't get that, they just didn't get that little, I got something to tell you, make you laugh. And everyone knows who me. There's a thing called the New York Hardcore Curse, and the New York Hardcore Curse is like a band's like a every band that was down New York Hardcore somehow, like the whatever guitar player, bass player, producer, they try to be in something else, they try to be something, and they never got big. Like this, I'll prove it like this. Like what's the band? Snap me on Prong. My boy. Tommy Prong, they opened up for Black Sabbath.
Yeah,
remember that? They opened at Madison Square Garden, and no one cared. I cared, but the world did not give a fuck. Prong was humongous. Well, Quicksand, best band in the world. They went on tour, And I love Quicksand. They almost made it. Oh, never made it. They never made it big as the Deftones made it like that. But every band almost made it. But they had the New York Hardcore Curse, and it would drag you down into an abyss. That's it. It's like a curse. It's a curse, bro.
Is that still? Do you think that's still going on? Because like now the hardcore is getting pretty big. There's some pretty big bands
out there. Like even the New York Hardcore guys is like I was signed to Travis Barker and LaSalle Records, right? Tim Armstrong signed me, and every time we put something out, it got sued or fucking shelved or some crazy shit. Everything was there. Music was there. It was this crazy thing that I just chalk it up to the curse.
Yeah. They're out there hating on the hardcore. I mean, it could be a thing. You never know.
Listen, all of them. Okay, so Craig Cicciari knows. Sick of It All knows about the curse. Everyone knows about the curse.
But there are some bands that, like, you just, like, Sick of It All, like, in Agnostic Front, they still are out there doing it.
Listen, I went on tour with them. We killed it. But I'm saying, but then you go to the No Effect show and see they don't have the curse.
Yeah, no, you're right. Different levels. Yeah, there's totally fucking different levels. Flogging Molly, right? NXPX.
No Effects.
Yeah.
Come on, bro. All those guys, they're making fucking Pennywise. They're making Bad Religion.
God, Pennywise, those guys are Pennywise making money. Is doing like front, a, they're 30 years later.
Is, yeah, but I'm saying, but Nazi Front is not making as much as Bad Religion and fucking Pennywise and these guys. No way.
How... You're in there. You're in the industry a little bit more. Why is that?
Because we're fucking stupid New Yorkers, and we're fucking with like,
crabs in a bucket, right? Crabs in a bucket.
Yeah, we everyone in California family are from. How can I say? When you go to California, you realize, oh, that famous person, oh, that's so-so's doors. Everyone's related. Everyone's got their foot in the door over there in the industry. So they actually try to outdo each other. So they'll be like, oh yeah, my son's new band. I got the best lawyer for them, the best logo guy, the best PR person, New York guy. My father's like, what the fuck you doing, retard? Get a fucking regular job. Right? That's like, come on.
Yeah, no, yeah. I think that's a lot of East Coasters growing up. I mean, my fucking family was definitely that, and I was in a band at the time. So they did not support that idea at all at the time.
Why they can't imagine me, Hoya, MQ, and then Freddie Madball's ugly face at 16 years old hanging out at my mom's house, and like my father came home and like, get the fuck out of here. What the fuck's wrong? Get the fuck out of here, you fucking hoodlums. You
know? I could understand that. I could see that in my head, and it's funny ass. It's funny ass visual. So being from New York and being from a time and a place where, you know, they were probably in your, like, crew of people. I know DMS was started with, like, a mixture of cultures of people. So I'm assuming your hardcore shows were also a mix of cultures and people of color and all this and the other stuff.
Yeah.
One thing that I noticed when I started going to shows early on, and again, I'm from a different area than you are in general, but I noticed that people of color weren't really around in the shows.
You were Jacksonville?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Leonard Skinner, being that's why.
Yeah, why not? I get it. We got Molly Hatchet.
It's no matter. Listen, I understand because that's another thing too. Because around the world, it wasn't diverse like us. So people like it's like when people say skinhead, they think people skinheads are all just Nazis. I mean, so a lot of people don't know that, man. So when we had shaved heads in our neighborhood, imagine how those people looked at us. Like, yo, fucking, what's wrong with you people?
You guys had skin, but like, you're like in your crew and in your DMS crew and in your like friend base, you had skinheads that weren't even white, right? Like, you had other people.
We're black, right? Albanians, Muslims.
I will say, because like growing up, skinhead to me, and again, I don't necessarily know the real, real point.
A lot of people,
but it was a bad term. So even today, when you say it today, it's like that's probably a bad term, but I mean. It just was New York the only place that really was going on, that there were so many people at the shows?
I know that Philly, D.C., Boston, but they, even when us were growing up, the older guys, there were a lot of Nazis. Before we could listen, when we came up, there were Nazis on the scene.
Yeah.
Because it was just a punk rock thing. A lot of, you know, the old Nazi, that's Nazi so-so. When we came on the scene, we were like, yo, what's up? And they didn't like us. Like the older guy, the Roger had to sit down with all these older guys all the time because we were fucking them up And then they were like, yo, we can't beat him, we'll join him. So we were like, yo, we're here. We policed the scene. Like, we took care of all the Nazi skinheads. So when people talk about, oh, you guys don't do this and that, that's racist, I'm like, yo, we were fighting Nazis, like real Nazis. Like, dudes in Allentown, Pennsylvania were fucking Zeke Heiling us with the fucking, with the band and the little mustache and coming out from, like, Nazis coming down. Yeah. We would fight them. Everywhere, Connecticut, Boston, anywhere we went, we fought them. Did people get hurt? Yeah, people got hurt. Did people get in the hospital? Some people never made it. Some people never woke up. You mean? Yeah. That's what I'm trying to say. So you heard the stories, and we're from a culture that is like, yo, we're from that gang culture too. You mean? Just because we don't do this, that, it's the world. You know, my thing is, you respect me, I respect you. You mean? Like, if I, and it always be like, how you, like, yo, this racist kid, how you, I'm like, this guy has a swastika on him. I'm like, yo, first of all, that guy just got out of jail, and he needed, that guy right there, if you don't know anything about the world, he needed that swastika to live in jail. So just leave him alone. He's not a Nazi, right? Just leave the guy alone. He's got out of jail. He did what he had to do. He's out here. He just wants to watch fucking No Effects or something. I don't know.
The reason I asked that is because you're in the last couple of years, in the last decade for sure, you've started seeing more representation of people of, you know, non-white backgrounds in general in hardcore. And I know that whenever I watch, like, old documentaries of, like, New York hardcore from the 80s and all that stuff, I'm always like, how is it just now that, like, other races are really getting into hardcore, whereas in the birthplace of this scene, it was always a mixing pot of people in color, and it was just strange.
Always like that. That's how we grew up. It was like, and we always like, it's growing up, and then the kids now today, they can't say anything to each other, and we would make fun of each other all day, you know. But all of us, like, we had like Chinese, like Narc, his name is the Chinese Mike. We have so many Mikes. Oh, that's Chinese Mike. Oh, that's Chinese Dave. You know what I mean? It's like, and that's how we talk to each other. No one was offended. Like, you know, like, we made jokes of Jew jokes all the time. I'm Jewish. They make Jewish jokes on me. I never fucking, that's what, yo, listen, having red hair and fucking being from Queens, your mother fucking black and Puerto Rican, dark, and you have a red afro, you're fighting, and Jewish. Yeah. I was born Jewish.
So, is, like, that why you're so tough and wanting to entertain? You just, like, were donned?
That's why, I got, for fighting. Because fighting people every day for stupid shit. It's like, they call you a nigger, spick, Jew. They didn't even know what to say to me. Just everything came to my way. That's it. But it made me have a good sense of humor, too. He's like, the jokes are fucking hilarious, too. So people, my father used to say the craziest things, and we all just start laughing. It's just like, people are too caught up in all this thing, the feelings. It's like, yo, bro, you only live once, and you're going to die. Yeah. So just have fun.
And that's a good segue for the comments. And we were talking about comments earlier. It's good, because you're an artist, and you've done, you know, you've definitely been featured on the website once or twice before.
Yes.
I was waiting for a time to bring this up, but, you know, I wanted to show my Scarhead CD.
Oh, shit, that's cool.
I got
the
Scarhead CD here. And then one other thing really quick I wanted to ask, was it just Victory Records that was wanting to do?
Yes, Victory Records.
Yeah, but was it Victory Records, because that just wanted to have, like, the name in big bold across the spine? Because Hatebreed, you know, you and Hatebreeds are, like, CD are right next to each other in my collections. And, like, I was like, who bit that first? But obviously their album came out in 97, so I don't want to say you bit it. But obviously maybe Tony at Victory was like, hey, we're just going to have all big font, big block font on the side.
Listen, a lot of people don't like Tony. Tony could be a little weird, but Tony's always good to me. I mean, like, there's a lot of crazy stuff that happened. People don't know how we got signed to Victory. It was a lot of crazy shit.
Well, can we talk about it?
You ask a question, I'll answer it. But I'll just say, like,
get signed to Victory?
I basically threatened them. I think it happened a few times in my career. I two people I know I threatened.
Is that why he might have been just good to you the entire time then? Because he was always maybe slightly fearful of maybe you breaking his arm or leg or kneecap?
He's from Chicago. Chicago guys are usually tough, right? They're almost like Brooklyn typeish.
Yeah. But Chicago, there's some mob mentality out there, mafia mentality.
But they at first it was like we had people, the Tegri stuff, the whole Tegri thing. And something happened, and I told him, I think Ted was supposed to play somewhere in New York, and I said, yo, listen, they're playing New York. This is where the beat was on. And he's had some band. I thought, was it Tree or something from Boston? Well, the Cool Me Too, but before that, he had the label supposed to be like bodyguard him, and I told him, I said, yo, called him up. I said, any band comes in with these guys, I want to kill all of you. And I'm going to rob you guys and destroy everything you do. And he's like, do you have a cool, call me. I called him. He's like, you have a record deal? I said, no. And he signed us.
Nice. It's quite interesting how, like, there's, you know, because in our little world in hardcore, yeah, there's only like really like a handful of those early labels that really did, you know, the Lord's work, so to speak, and getting a lot of this stuff off the ground. Tony, one of them.
Victory was everywhere.
Right,
bro.
Right. Tony's one of them. Go ahead.
I can laugh about it because at one point, thank God that he did that for Scarhead. You know, he put out Kings on Crime, and that album, kids all go crazy still for the album. Yeah. I did the artwork. I remember going to Tony's house and going out there and doing the artwork. It's staying out there because it was the head of the art director. Like, this is before for computer shit.
Yeah, are you cutting and pasting these?
Cutting and pasting. Yeah. I had to bring all the books, all the pictures there. I had to bring up the books. Like, the whole thing. That
you're cutting and pasting
all those pictures. Yeah. I had to Xerox them and shit. It was crazy, bro.
Yeah, that's nuts.
But yeah, I did all that by hand over there and came back home and we became friends. And, you know, it's like a lot of people, a lot of bands, happened to me. I had beef with someone. I don't even want to say the person's name, but we're cool now. And I just did a book with him. But something happened. He had beef with one of my DMS brothers, my boy Mackie, and I knocked out the guy. It was bad. It was for a few days, he was knocked out. I thought he was in a coma. But when he came out, I said, I'm sorry. I saw him. I said, hey, I'm sorry about the day. I just had to do you. And he knew that he was wrong. Before the fair one, I knocked him out and it almost killed him. And I was like, sorry. Then he signed my band, one of my other bands. I got to deal out that too. But still, that's how we're like. And now me and homeboy, I'm not saying his name because
but
we're friends and we're cool. But I was like, how crazy is that? And like I almost killed this guy.
Yeah, right? Yeah. No, I mean,
that's the world. Wild. Because my mind is this guy shook my hand after I did that. They're like, offered me a record deal. That's a deal. I'm not threatening nobody. And he was a good person. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I told him too. This is crazy. I'm selling to the whole world right now. Even though my boy is my DMS brother, just to everyone over here that wants a little talking. Even though my boy's DMS brother is in the wrong, I told him. I said, hey, listen, I'm sorry I knocked you out and everything, but I had to do this. My brother. But even if he's in the wrong, I'm still gonna take my brother's back and knock you out. I'll grab my brother later on and be like, you fucking asshole, you were wrong, you're a fucking dick, and now I gotta do this, but I have to do that as my brother. You mean? Yeah, and that's it, that's just how it is. So when people, oh, fuck you, DMS, I know some of my brothers are fucking weirdos, and some of my brothers are assholes in the mouth, but they're my brothers. So if you're gonna say something about one of my brothers, don't get stupid. If I slap the shit out of you in front of 1,000 people, I don't care, I get sued. I'll go to jail, and two other brothers will come out and smack the shit out of you too, find out where you live, and do the same thing. So stop. It's not a no-win situation. Just be nice. Be nice to me, I'll be nice to you. That's how it is.
That's a
lot of these people never got smacked in the mouth. So yeah, that's the problem.
I agree, especially these days. That's a good segue, because one of the things I definitely wanted to talk to you about, was violence. And, you know, that's a prevalent thing in hardcore. And I was curious as to your view on that in general. I want to know your view on mosh pit, you know, violence that goes on.
It's so crazy now, the kids how they dance. But
was it worse before, or is it easier now?
You know what? It was sometimes. Some guys have chains and fucking bats back in the day. It was a different world.
Because you're talking about getting stabbed and all this, the brass knuckles and all these other things.
But the punk rockers running around with their fucking studs purposely and hitting people. It's the same thing. You're going to lose an eye. Fucking, you know what I mean? Like, it is what it is. I think more people get hurt on a football field.
Of course. Yeah, we're not trying to point fingers.
Little league baseball game, the mosh pit.
We're not trying to point fingers. I'm just trying to draw a coordinate, you know, a line between old school and new school.
It's a violent. Listen, the aggression. Imagine when you're a kid, you don't have an outlet. That many outlets. You're a kid, so you gotta go back to your mom and dad's house, or single parents' house, or your grandma's house, your aunts, and you gotta deal with them, and they have their own problems. You know, you have an uncle that's a fucking drug addict. You know, your mother's drunk. You have a boyfriend that beats your mom. You know, it's a lot. The music's the only way to escape. So when you come out and you hear that music, you don't know what to do. Some people don't have. Graffiti, can't draw, don't have motor skills to talk to people, so they're pent up in them. You mean? So that's why kids do drugs. That's why kids go crazy to EDM music and fucking raves. It's like, it's an outlet. So when you go to hardcore kids, no matter how, first of all hardcore kids, punk rock kids are fucked up in the head.
Yeah.
Like, that's all it is. It's no matter what. And that's why they're joined together. But, you know, you see other kids, punk rock kids are fucked up, but there's other kids out there that are fucked up too, and they don't have nothing to get out. So that's why all those juggalos fucking love fucking ICP. Like all these white trash kids.
Hey, and they also adopted mosh culture too.
A lot of those guys. I want to tell you something. You know how many Kings of Crimes records? When I do my hip hop stuff, and I tour a lot of juggalo like artists, mm-hmm. and it's also they come out juggalos, and I'm like, these motherfuckers are freaky. And also like they have a Kings of Crime or Drugs of My Sex EP that I signed it for them.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Or scarhead tattoos. How crazy is that?
Yeah. Are they younger kids too?
No, the older dudes. The younger kids respect it. The younger artists really respect it. So I know some artists right now that look at me as like the whole thugcore rapping thing. Their first rap thing they ever heard was the Transplants. So that's even crazy to me.
Yeah.
So that bugs me the fuck out.
You got a lot of entry points, Danny.
You know what I mean? Like a lot of these kids don't even know that it, like the rap shit I do, a lot of kids don't even know about the hardcore stuff till later on.
Right.
And I'm like, oh my God, I'm just a hardcore kid. I do hardcore rap. I grew up with fucking real rappers, Coogee Rap and fucking Juju Beatnuts.
I was just listening to Ice Cube on Rogan's podcast, and they were talking about his entry points and how he's got like, you know, he started with N.W.A., which is like one spectrum, but then he does like the "Are We There Yet?" movies for like, you know, PG
Amazing.
Movies, and he's like, you know, those kids can get introduced to him at that age, but then they can find like, you know, a different movie, you know, Barbershop at 11, and then they can find like Friday at 14, and then if they're old enough, they can find like N.W.A. or something like that, and you know, it's kind of like the same for you, but you know, smaller hardcore scale.
But you know what I say all the time is, all right, check this out. Whenever I see an artist that I love, like an artist that I'm like, oh, that dude, the person's interesting. Then I'm like, no, it's something else. I really like this artist. Then you understand it always goes back to punk rock. Like Viggo Mortensen. Mm-hmm. Well, Viggo Mortensen is one of the greatest actors. I always like. I heard that he was best friends with Darby Crash with the Germs. And his wife was a homegirl from X.
Yeah.
His ex-wife.
Yeah.
So I'm like, he's a punk rock guy. The homegirl that was in the Science of Lambs, the girl was in the...
Carrie Fisher? Fisher. Was it Carrie Fisher?
No. The Science of Lambs, she was she's a famous actress.
Yeah.
No.
The girl from The Sphere. She was in the Sphere movie, too.
She's the girl in the put the she's the girl that have her in the Science of Lambs. They put in the pit. In the pit, that girl. That girl's a hardcore girl. She's a casting agent now, but she's amazing. It's the same people. You could tell when someone actor or
Jamie
artist
Foster?
Has an edge. No, it's I forgot to get the girl's name.
I'm lost.
But even like let's say Bjork. You look at Bjork. I love Bjork, right? Mm-hmm. Bjork's my fucking one of my favorite artists. But she was on her first band was on tour on with the Crass.
On
the label with the Crass. It's Crass's label. So that's fucking punk rock, bro. That's like real shit. Why I love York.
It's crazy to find out who like listens to hardcore or is in hardcore in the entertainment world, where it be like either sports or TV movies or anything like that. Because they're all out there. We're all out there.
What's the homeboy's name from he goes John he does the show, the political show. John, is it John?
Well,
what's his name?
The guy who took over for The Daily Show guy? Stephen Colbert?
John Stewart. Yeah,
Stewart.
Hardcore.
Yeah, yeah.
If he used to be those city guards. Like, I remember one time I saw him, and I was delivering liquor. And he was like, "Oh shit, Crown Torture." We were like the way he first got big. But I'm saying it's all hardcore, and it's cool that those guys always have that edge. You can tell, you're like, "Oh, I know something is a hardcore." I mean, so I might make jokes about hardcore and the people in hardcore, but I actually love it. It's part of my culture.
But that's why you do it, Danny, because you love it.
I can make the jokes, but I see from outside looking in, like all my fucking family and stuff, like, and my friends who are like, what the fuck is this? Yeah. But they come to all my shows. And they're like, this is crazy. But I bring my neighborhood culture and where I'm from into my music, everything. So a lot of people can't understand it. They don't understand it. They don't understand how we are. It's one of Queens for me is my mecca, my world, and I love it, man. I love being around all different nationalities and religions and people and creeds. It's a beautiful thing. Like when people talk about all this transgender stuff like that, it's always been in Jackson Heights. Always the transvestites and
It's always been around for sure.
It's always been like. Growing up and I'm on my block. So when people are like, oh, this stuff bothers you, I'm like, why is that person bothering you? If it wasn't for gay people, the world would suck. It would be the ugliest, most horrible, dark world in the world. Gay people bring joy and music to music and art and makes the world beautiful. So, and I don't give a fuck what anyone says. I think that they're like, and people are like, oh, you're like yeah, listen, I'm an alpha male, but I'm secure in my masculinity. Right. It doesn't bother me anything. You know what I mean? My ex girlfriend, 8 years was in the whole nightlife shit, and I used to go everywhere with her. You know what I mean? All her friends, everything. Like, I have nothing against anyone. You don't hurt children, and you hurt women, you're good with me. You know what I mean? That's it.
Danny, I think that's a good spot to lead us off on. To kill it. Right? Positive note? Yeah. Positive note?
Positive note. Here, also, this is Scarhead. That is a cheap plug.
Nice. Yeah. Generators of violence.
Generators of violence. We're talking about violence. It's
a good tie-in. We're tying in a lot of things here.
I got Chad B. McCoy from Gym Class Heroes, Lars Frederson of Rancid.
Rancid, yep.
And my boy Cashwan of Show Me the Body on this.
Nice. Well, we definitely would like to have you back on. As much as possible, you know, we got a lot of things going on.
Thank you so much for this. This is actually like, I want to say if you like hard shit, like go to listen to my music. I got go to force5records.com, check it out. Supreme Force Syndicate is a new group I'm doing, super group with all these people. Check it out. I got what else?
You got acting. You got acting. You got art. You got all your old
system
bands.
TV series on Tubi. Tubi.
Crown of Thorns, Scarhead.
DannyDiabloMerch.com. New Ice Pick, hopefully coming soon.
We didn't even talk about fucking Ice Pick, dude. We didn't even talk about none of that. So we got to get you back on. Damn. There's a lot.
Everyone hit up Jamie Joster. Ice Pick is out right now on Spotify and stuff. You can get it now.
Cool.
And we're putting out new vinyl remastered Ice Pick.
Nice. Well, again, even better to end it on that. Danny.
I DJ on a band called They Live also. What else?
What do you got?
A lot. Shout out to Danny Diablo versus Pissmark coming out soon. And Danny Diablo and West Nile Fallen Sun coming out soon. And
you can also all of Danny's shit, all of his socials are going to be in the show notes. So check that out. Follow Danny. Check him out. It'll be all
good.
Thank
you so much. Peace, Real Wolf.
Hi, this is Chad Nicefield.
And this is Justin Press.
We're the host of Making Waves, the Shiprock podcast, a part of the Sound Talent Media Podcast Network. We're inviting you to sail away with us on an epic journey in musical enlightenment. Every week, we bring you only the best artists in rock music and discuss everything from the cruise to the stage to the saga of being a professional recording artist. We'll have lots of special guests along the way, so tune in every week.
Your stateroom is available every Monday morning, so welcome aboard.